This is a WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us today from the Murfreesboro Police Department. You know, I'm used to saying Lieutenant Clayton Williams, but you've been a captain now for well over a year or two.
A couple years, yeah. That's okay.
I'm a little behind.
Well, you know, it has been a while since we've been on the show with you. That's okay.
That's true. We got to do it every day.
That's it.
Larry Flowers also with us today. Now, did you change titles as well? I thought I saw something written differently.
It's a public safety information director.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
We could call him the PSID for
there
short.
That's it.
So what's happening? What's new in the city? Anything exciting going on with police? Any police activity? Or
always police activity. never dull that way. When you think of it from the organization standpoint, we're getting ready to start a new fiscal year. The whole city is. So that's always exciting because, you know, the things that you're looking forward ahead to try to accomplish, you can kind of start those projects. And it's also a good time. We're getting ready to do another hiring class or take applications, rather, coming up on July the 7th. So it's always, you know, nice to be able to add those positions that you're seeking to fill. And it's just, you know, summertime. Our folks are not unlike a lot of the others, you know, is in that a lot of people doing their getting their vacations in, kind of recharging, resetting. I know SROs, they've had a big summer already doing some of the, I don't know if you guys seen their little pop-up events they've been doing on social media. Those have been kind of neat. They've been kind of going to some different parks selected on Friday, and they advertise just kind of I think it's just kind of a community hangout. You know, they do some fun games. I think there might be some free ice cream involved or something like that. Sometimes it just depends, you know. But yeah, it's a good time. Obviously, we're still responding to calls like we always do.
Thank goodness.
That too. Let me get back to the main part. You know, no shortage of that. People still call us, you know, all those things. You hate to say business as usual, but a lot of times people, I don't know if when you're truly a 24/7 operation, I mean, it literally, and whenever the phone rings, you go. I mean, it's just a constant ongoing, literally never stop.
What do you see more numbers in during the summertime? I mean, are they more DUI cases, more burglaries? What's happening out there as far as what increases in the summer?
I think historically, we're just still into this this year, but historically, when more people are out, sometimes we will see, you know, things like the summer months when more people are traveling and driving around, we will see an uptick in accidents. The holidays also that fall during, just like this one we're about to come up on, a lot of people travel. Typically in the summer, we will see motor vehicle theft, things like when, unfortunately, adolescents are around sometimes that are doing some of those things, checking those cars at night to see if they're unlocked and doing things like that. We see those at time to time. But overall, it's very interesting, and I'll let Larry share his perspective on that because I know he sees it firsthand on what people are requesting to know about. I've noticed our trends, even though there are little bumps up and down, small, it is unique, and even with the growth, things typically kind of have a natural way about them as far as, I'll say that, for our numbers go. I mean, and it's just like, I'll use for an example, there have been years where we'll see like a fatality count will be seeming like much higher. Like I remember there was one year we went from 3 to 11, and it's like, man, that just really,
that's a big difference.
Yeah, it is. And even in the jumping that many 8 in those serious, you know, those are lives, which is, we take very seriously. But it's amazing how much something like that can just really, really grab attention and make you take a look at it and say, man, what can we do here? So I say that to say, we always take a look at that and we try to assess those needs and make sure that, hey, what can we do better in this area? You know, how can we use our resources to best try to address these issues? And we do that constantly, and especially, like I said, looking at a year in review. So I'll toss Larry, because like I said, he deals with those, the media inquiries and the people wanting to know a lot. So
You had spoken about the vehicle break-ins or theft from vehicles typically during the summer months when, you know, juveniles are out of school, some they got too much time on their hands and nothing to do, and they would literally simply go and tug on car doors and see if they're open, and if they are, literally, if it's just petty change, that's what they're looking for. They're not there looking for hot dollar items. They're strictly just looking for cash.
Yeah.
Do parents ever call the police department and say, you know, my son lately has been coming on with a lot of car radios?
Not at all. Not at all. But as a reminder, we want to remind people of that 9 p.m. routine just before you go to bed. You know, make sure your car is locked. You know, take your keys and remove any valuables you have inside. Just get used to doing that, and that will help deter people from breaking into your car, because even the more serious criminals, you would see some of these home videos where that's what they're doing. They're checking for unlocked vehicles. They would rather not make noise by breaking a window and alert the homeowner. So we do want to encourage people to, again, follow that 9 p.m. routine. We posted our annual crime report from 2024 online. And, you know, Clayton can jump in at any point, but overall crime in the city is down. He had mentioned homicides. In 2023, there were 11. Last year, there were only 5. That's a 55% decrease in homicides. Rape cases, 90 in 2023, 74 last year. Robbery, 62 in 2023, 50 in 2024, 19% decrease. Aggravated assault, 630 in 2023, 585 last year. That's a 7% decrease. Burglaries, 332 in 2023, 288 in 2024, 13% decrease. Larceny and thefts, 1,905 in 2023. Last year, there were 1,556, 18% decrease. Motor vehicle thefts, 410 in 2023, 334 last year, 17% decrease. Our arson cases, there were 4 in 2023, 3 in 2024, a 25% reduction. And just overall crime itself, 19% reduction. As you can see, only one category, we only had a single digit reduction, but in every other major crime category, double digit reduction in crime. And if you look in terms of what contributes to that, we do have less calls for service as one, but our officers, the boots on the ground, they get out and they do their job. We also have our civilian employees, like our crime data analysts, who assist detectives in helping to solve cases. So it's just some good old-fashioned police work. But Chief Bowen loves to say, let's wait and look at crime over the next year, the next 2 years, to make sure this is not a fluke, that indeed what we're doing is working. And so just continue this proactive approach, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I know a couple of months ago you guys released some pictures of home cameras, security cameras, picked up somebody breaking into different cars and everything, but the guys had like a rifle with them or something, which is seems kind of unusual for just burglaries.
Yeah, the last time that after that happened. I know the last couple of times we've been on the show, Chief always mentioned that he wants to bring that up, because even though I don't want us to come off sound like we're downplaying like petty theft, if you will, because of that element, when that happens, you know, the last thing that we want to see, it's bad enough that this criminal is doing this, but someone comes out to confront someone like this, they need to know that there's potential there. And that's something we value, human life more than anything, you know, so make sure we're considering those things. And what he would always say is, if you can, call us, if it's, you know, because you never know what you're going to encounter before you rush out there. And that's an individual decision. But yeah, those things like that, even though on the front end, and as they occur more frequently, we never want to say that, oh, that's just mundane or that's just normal. We're aware of that, and we want to caution the public to make sure that we take those things seriously as well.
Does that not just automatically or instantly turn a misdemeanor crime into a felony? I mean, just in a second?
It can, in certain cases where the use of a weapon is, yes. And I would have to go back and look, and I think that's what Larry's doing. If I don't remember, we made that, but I don't know if we ever made a arrest on that, but I think we were able, and I don't want to misspeak here, I think we were able to link that group. I think we're responsible for some other incidents in the Middle Tennessee area, and that's where we see that a lot that happens with these. Some of them are local juvenile, but then there's also people from all surrounding areas that have realized, like, hey, we can just get together one night with a group of our people and, you know, let's go hit these areas and between these early morning hours when nobody's hopefully stirring around and try to get some things and then get back home, you know, before we're detected. So that's one of the things, the reasons why many of our crimes, we found that when we speak to our partners, whether it be Brentwood, Mount Juliet, Gallatin, Hendersonville, Metro Nashville, Franklin, that's why, you know, we really appreciate the fact that we're able to have technologies like license plate readers, because those have been an invaluable resource in being able to solve a lot of these crimes, to have a breadcrumb trail and really develop some intelligence to where, again, it's not a big brother, let's just see what everybody's doing, but be able to put the pieces together so that when we can get our proverbial hands on these folks, that we can actually bring them to justice and make a good court case and present that, and hopefully there'll be some type of closure and some type of resolve to that.
And with those license plate readers, if you pass a patrol car that has that on there, what are they actually picking up? What are they looking for or trying to record?
So basically, if it's, and happens every day, if you drive past a police car, it's scanning those, and 99% of the time, nothing happens. I mean, the only time the officer will even know if there's something that they should be concerned about, if that, for example, if your plate was listed as stolen or you'd reported it missing, the system, it tries to throw a wide net, if you will, but also concentrated. And I'll give you an example, is sometimes an officer may get an alert and says, hey, I'm paraphrasing here, but it'll tell them that, hey, there's something going on with this car, or you may want to look at it. So they look at it, and it gives them enough information. They look at, say it was your license plate, they look at it. It may be the exact same or have like 5 out of the 7 numbers you're looking for. However, that plate is a Florida plate versus a Tennessee. So what it does is it requires the officer to like look at it and say, oh, wait a minute, that's not it. So it's
so like a game.
Yeah, it kind of is a little bit, you know, but and that's where we always emphasize the machine. It's just taking in data per se. That's why we always, the human factor is what determines, hey, is this thing that it's looking for or is it not? So we don't just go and make stops based on hits. You know, we want to confirm what it is that we see. But that's the most popular one, to be stolen car. Or it's, man, there's been, I don't know that we've had them in our jurisdiction yet, but missing children, missing people. I know I've seen reports where, especially with seniors or with dementia that have gone missing, being able to have that tag entered so that officers can find that person and stop that car, you know, that's huge.
Now, in those cases, it's specifically looking for that plate.
Correct. Yeah, and again, it may, just because it's another state and it has similar numbers, it may tell the officer, like, hey, take a look at this. And that's just a part of the system to make sure that, hey, it's looking for numbers, letters. That's basically what it's just looking at that data. So it has to take that officer to take a look at it and be like, you know, that's not the right one. That's an incorrect read.
Some of those videos that you see on like a Facebook and YouTube, you always see that one repeating video where it's always a different person in another state. They're deliberately testing police, or they're going into a court building and recording, or they're, yeah, you know, they're doing something on video, and they're usually a little sarcastic sometimes to the officer, but they're deliberately trying to see if they're going to get thrown out or told to turn the camera off.
Right.
Does that stuff happen here? Have y'all had that?
Yep. It's happened right out here, out your window one time. There's a real popular one.
I missed it.
Yeah. Oh, it's still on YouTube if you want to go see it. Yeah. Yeah. It was the sheriff's department was training in the old building, and we wind up getting caught. It's been several years ago now, but it's out there. I think just like with anything on, whether it be YouTube or social media, things kind of trend where somebody says, I don't know how somebody saw that and said, I want to do that, you know, but
it's happening. When I get older, that's going to be me.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's me. I'm like, man, I think I'd rather do other things with my time, but hey, it's fine. Funny. But I mean, hey, we fully support Constitution and First and Second Amendment. And there's been various groups that have pushed the limits of that both ways. And luckily, by those folks that did some of those videos are very well produced and nicely done and edited.
It's like watching a movie.
It is. And it's good quality. So some of those allowed us, we actually use that for training aids to help teach our folks, like, hey, because most, even you got to think about the men and women that we're hiring, you know, between 21, 25 year olds, most your average citizen in the United States, thank goodness, really doesn't have to worry about their constitutional rights being, you know, checked every now and then. So it's just kind of something we all take for granted. But it was also kind of good in an awareness way, because the First Amendment, as where we've dealt with it on a more serious note, you know, when we've had different protests and different groups that have wanted to have a demonstration and things like that. So it's kind of fed into that conversation as well, to help us better prepare men and women, like, hey, this is what we should do as a response from law enforcement. This is what we can do. This is what we can't do. And I think the biggest thing is where, with a lot of times, the ones where you see them go bad is people get frustrated. And it's really just about having a dialogue and working out some type of compromise of, like, hey, here's what you can do. And, you know, we're good with that. And here's what's happening. And sometimes even with the Second Amendment one, it's like, hey, you may have the constitutional right to do that, but you're kind of making everybody uneasy here. You know, is there really a good need for you to be standing around here with this rifle? You know, and that's it's the logical piece. And and some of those folks that we've encountered, they're not local people. A lot of times they travel around. So but yeah, those are still happening. And hey, we do the best our can. I know our city council's been experienced some things kind of similar with people that, you know, and I think they have a good system where people have to register to speak and things like that. But yeah, we support the rights of people. We're citizens just like everyone else, and we want to have our rights protected as well. But we want to make sure we do that where it doesn't infringe upon the rights of others.
Now, we saw quite a few protests over the last, I guess, month or so, mm-hmm. in different areas of the state and different areas of the country. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten word of any upcoming protests that are going to be here? And some of the folks, I guess when they do a protest, they go through the city offices and they mm-hmm. apply for, what is it, a parade permit? Yes. They have to get?
Yeah, event permit. Mm-hmm.
But then I guess some don't.
Yeah.
But in those cases, what usually occurs, and have y'all gotten any word about any coming up?
I don't know of any on the radar right now. We did a couple weeks ago, was it the first weekend in June when we had the one out at Medical Center. I believe it was the first or second weekend in June. I can't recall the exact date, but yeah, those folks that did that, they were very organized. They went through all the proper channels as far as the permitting, and a lot of, I would say 95% of the time, that's the way it goes. These groups, they do have a cause. They have good structured leadership. Their goal is not necessarily to cause disruption and chaos. It is just they want to, you know, support their cause and you know, get their message out there. So that, I think, I know once that was over, speaking with our executive staff, we were very well pleased with how that went. And even though they all have the potential for things to go wrong when you're dealing with that many persons in one place, but went very well, and they worked with us within the confines of what we would require and what the city would require very well. But yes, to your question, there are times when the folks don't go through that process, and it does make it a little more difficult. We always try to reach out, and we don't get those event permits, but say we see this on social media that says this is going to happen, we try to send our folks to find that person or whoever the organizer of the group is to say, hey, can we have a conversation so we can kind of talk about expectations and what it is you're trying to achieve and how we can, you know, best protect you and everybody else. And most of the time that works pretty well. I mean, it has here. So I'm not saying it's always going to be that way, but as far as on the radar, I have not seen anything, or we're not aware of anything that's coming down the pipe. I know that, I think the one they had a couple weeks ago was, that was a, there were several around the country, the No Kings event, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that was our most recent one. And I hate to say that we've done enough of them where we feel like we have at least a good structure of how we're going to mitigate those. But hey, you know what? It's probably not the last. I'm sure there are some things that'll be, as we live in much more connected society with social media and a lot of events that are happening in, whether it be in the political setting or other arena, they're divisive sometimes, and sometimes it's polarizing, and everybody, that's the great thing about this country, has the right to, you know, their belief and how they feel about those things, and we're here to protect them too.
And I would imagine a lot of the groups that put those together, they want the attention of the media, so they're probably not going to come to Murfreesboro usually.
Well, you're in journalism, and Larry, he's taught me a lot about, it's interesting, the evolution of how used to you would see guys like him, or I would be on a wreck somewhere when I was, and they would come and I'd look over on the corner and like, oh man,
there's Larry
there's
over
channel,
there.
There's channel two or channel four. He's setting up a camera. You don't see that near as much as you used to. I think that's why you see the much more larger events, people going to Nashville or especially at the Capitol, because they're in that market area closer where they might actually get some live coverage. Because if you can get that kind of visibility, then you're reaching a whole lot larger group. But anything you want to say about that?
No, not at all.
We always try to work well with our, I know Larry, with our media partners, with local and Nashville, you know, and we want to try to, if that's something they want to take in and cover, we want to provide a safe space for them also.
Sounds good. We got to take a short break, and then we will be right back to talk more about different things happening within Murfreesboro with Murfreesboro police and different types of crime and whatnot. We'll learn again more in just a second. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Are you tired of constantly spending money on sprays and other things to control mosquitoes around your home? If so, come by Holden Hardware and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. When used properly, the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators will kill mosquitoes. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. This year, make mosquito control easier and cheaper. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street. And spring has sprung here at Animal City. Our nursery is full of hand-feeding baby birds just waiting to be your perfect companion. If you're not a bird person yet, just come in and let them change your mind. If you've already found your perfect parrot, we have all the things you need to keep them happy, including a wide variety of toys. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're talking with folks from the Murfreesboro Police Department and talking about crime and different things happening within the city. And I don't know what else is happening within the city. We covered the protest and burglaries. And 10 or 15 years ago, there were situations where, you know, within the city limits, people were having firework wars, if you would, and shooting Roman candles and bottle rockets at each other. Have we had anything like that over the past couple of years?
That is, since they've regulated the sales, I think that's helped. It's also, a lot of those would typically happen in part of the older part of downtown, you know, not far from here. I think a lot of it, too, is whether it's, you can call it good, bad, indifferent. The population, you know, and housing is kind of changing, and a lot of new people moving in, you know, generationally. You know, people just, sad to say, but as one generation dies off, you know, it kind of moves on, that it's kind of changing some things. So I don't know if that's part of the dynamic as well, but as we talked about earlier with the juvenile, I mean, sometimes young people are just young people, you know, we've all been there. But last year, I think I worked that night. I know we had, it was right after the fireworks show. I know we had a fire up on Maple Street. There's some apartments up there. Fire took that investigation over. I don't know if it was ultimately a result of fireworks or something cooking. I remember, it seems like I remember they had something on the stove as well. So
cooking fireworks.
Either way, it kind of got it garnered a lot of attention just because of, it was the 4th and the time of night. So I would be remiss not to say, you know, we just ask that people be safe. If you've got kids and even teenagers, just make sure they're responsible with that stuff. The nothing worse than ending a holiday event with somebody's property being damaged or somebody being seriously injured or hurt. We all want everybody to have fun, obviously, but let's make it a safe holiday where we don't have one of those events this time.
Sure. Scott, if you don't mind jumping in, just a reminder, because I've received a few calls with people complaining about fireworks being shot. Good. So just want to remind the residents of Murfreesboro that within city limits, that fireworks may only be used on July 3rd, July 4th, and July 5th from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. And so that's a good reminder for that as well. of course, you know, we're not allowed to sell, the fireworks vendors are not allowed to sell the big mortar rounds and things like that. Just keep that in mind, that if you go to a different city and buy fireworks, you can't shoot those in the city. That's illegal as well.
I know they do, like Larry said, I know they do sell them in the county, but if that's something we come about and or we're called to, you will lose your money on that because they'll be confiscated. So we don't want anybody to lose out on that. So,
you know, when I was younger, me and my buddies, we, you know, parents would say, yeah, here's $10, go buy some fireworks.
Right.
You're like 12 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't see real young kids shooting fireworks off like you used to. Yeah. At least I haven't seen it myself.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's usually the, when we get the calls, it's, unfortunately, it's, I guess, us that didn't grow up.
It is. You're right. We're the ones doing the dumb stuff.
And it's still not the $10 or $12. It's the $500, $600 worth. And you're like, gracious me. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So it's I shouldn't say it's just limited to the youth.
And that might be why we don't see kids shooting fireworks as much as they once did. Because, man, everything's so much more.
It is. It is. And now they can't. Pretty sure they can't even sell under 16.
16, yeah. Old, under 16, you can't sell.
So
takes all the fun out of it. Right.
Well, you know, what they said, I don't know if this is the best mantra, but you probably have these experiences too. Those young pain and hurt are good teachers sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Scott, on a more serious note, you know, last week I put out a news release about a series of shootings, drive-by shootings in the city. Some were in retaliation to the previous shooting. We were able to make several arrests in those cases. And there was a seventh suspect, a female, that was still on the loose. So our detectives were able to serve that warrant. So the seventh suspect in a series of drive-by shootings has been arrested. 19-year-old Naisha Lawrence was taken into custody on Monday, and she remains at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center, along with six other suspects who were charged in that series of shootings. And one of those shootings, an innocent 11-year-old girl was shot in the ankle. Bullets, you know, went inside of her apartment. She was in her bedroom. And so, have to say, great work by even the officers on the streets who first responded. One of the calls, our gunshot detection sensors alerted officers who quickly got to the scene. Our crime data analysts were able to check surveillance, public safety cameras, and LPR technology, and was able to give information on a Sunday to officers, which went over to an apartment complex, and there, three of the suspects leaned up against the car. And
they literally were just out there in the parking lot hanging out,
leaning up against the car that was used in the drive-by shooting. And so a 16-year-old took off running. Officers in a short foot pursuit was able to take him into custody, took another 16-year-old and a 20-year-old into custody. So, I mean, great work. Seven people involved, all seven are behind bars. Yeah.
Now, was that targeted? I mean, that initial drive-by shooting, was that a targeted event or was it random act?
These were all targeted shootings. Nothing random. So, you know, the residents of our city shouldn't be worried that there were some crazed gunmen going around shooting random people. That was not the case. They were all over. One was off Warrior Drive. One was off Greenland. Mm-hmm. And I know those were two of the areas where the shootings occurred.
Man, Warrior Drive, that's out there, it seems like, for that to be taking place.
Yeah, a lot of, and the reason it was moving around, it was different either residences or where some of these people stayed that were all in some type of altercation or retribution for something else, and it just kind of escalated to that point. So that's why the multiple places and multiple offenses.
Right. That first incident took place on Bradyville Pike, where a group of guys, someone fired shots at, nobody was injured, but a couple of bullets did hit apartment complexes. And then we got called to a second shooting on Greenland, where guys on mini bikes were shot at. And then we received a call the same night about a shooting over off Warrior Drive at an apartment complex over there. So those were the three areas.
Man, that's wild. Yeah. I mean, that's, people are different these days.
100%. It's no longer, hey, let's come here, let's have to go to fisticuffs and this is going to be over, it escalates to, unfortunately, many times to that level.
Yeah, but like I said, the good news is all seven are in custody.
That is good.
You know, high bonds, one even have $1 million bond. So
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a theft that we haven't heard a lot about in recent months, or I don't think in years either, but I'm curious, is it still happening? That is Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. For a while there, that store, actually the store in the Avenue and the store in Stones River Mall, they were both being hit, seemed like every 2 months or so.
Yeah, that's, I think the biggest thing is from the last one, I was talking to one of the investigators who worked a lot of those cases, they have significantly changed their merchandising and display, and also even to the point, I know it went, one at the Avenue had security on site, so I think they took a lot of, you know, suggestions, just unfortunately, but it's you're right, we're not getting those calls like we were, and I think we also made some arrests in those cases,
right,
too,
which
also gets the message out there, like, hey, you know, these guys will prosecute you and, you know, and lock you up if you do these things.
And one thing Victoria's Secret did, they moved locations in the Avenue.
Larry knows that.
Yeah, so they moved to a different storefront, and then, as Clayton said, rearranged the store where the merchandise is not right there as soon as you step in. Yeah. And, of course, security and other things like that. So they took proactive measures as well. And that's what it's going to take, these business owners working, you know, to take care of themselves and not just expect police to come in and be there when somebody, you know, is stealing from them.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned on the break you were out in California. There's like a couple people I follow on YouTube, and they were in California shopping. It was even a Walmart. And I think he wanted to buy some, I think it was some t-shirts, just like a undershirt, and everything was behind like plexiglass, like he had to get somebody, an associate, to come. And I hope it doesn't come to that, but
I hope not. It's a pain.
It is. It's the whole point. I mean, the shop, being able to go get what you need and go. So I hope people are recognizing this, and I hope it, you know, we don't come to that, but that's if
well, usually, actually we have.
Is it already
there's
there?
There's a store here in Murfreesboro where if you want to go to buy laundry detergent, it's behind an alarmed little
man.
Glass that are
that's crazy.
I'm curious as well, do you have officers who are like scanning through like Facebook Marketplace to see if somebody is posting, well, this was recently stolen last week, here it is?
Yeah, a lot of times when they're doing, that's one of the great things about having our intel, and we call them crime data analysts, but it's almost, you know, it's developed into what I would call full-blown intelligence unit, and we're able to use that more and more as people become more connected, and that is an avenue. So that's one of the first things that where they'll go when, if you're investigating, like you said, the case you mentioned, you said, man, I've got all these thefts here, anything you can do, and a lot of times they'll start scrubbing different social media and public, whatever public forums are out there, and if they see that, like, hey, you might want to take a, I want to follow up on this, looks like, yeah, exactly. And then same way with the vehicles and any type of theft, or just postings about, it's amazing what we find on, like the case that Larry's mentioned. Unfortunately, and I mean, it's bad, but for us, some of the trails these folks leave behind is when they commit these crimes, they tell them, they go and tell everybody about what they did, and we go and try to harvest all that because it makes a better case. So yeah,
I never understood that, nor did I understand people selling stuff locally in a classified page after they just stole it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's we're already out of time, so that's going to do it this morning.
Okay.
If anybody has questions for police, what is the non-emergency number?
Call us anytime, 615-893-1311. That'll get you to dispatch. If you're not got an emergency, they may ask you to hold, but you'll get through and get an officer on the way.
Sounds good. Clayton Williams and Larry Flowers with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Police Department.
My grandmother and Ms. Adams were best friends. I mean, she said, Betty, you need to come to Adams' place. You'd love it.
We're talking with Betty Kirksey.
They go above and beyond of what their job is. I wish Ms. Adams was still living so I could tell her, you were right. It is where I should be, and it's very nice.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me for more information about Adams Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.